What's going on? Welcome back to Stacking Slabs. This is your hobby content alternative. I'm your host, Brett McGrath, and we're back with Hobby Shop Talk. Yes, an extra day in the rotation. I told you we'd be back once a month talking about what's going on at the hobby shop level. I talk about this a lot, but I think the best education for new participants in our lovely hobby happens at the hobby shop in those conversations with the owner. It's a place of community and connection. And I got my man, Jameson Long, owner at Port City Sports Collectibles, back on the program. And we cover a lot of ground. We talk about what is happening in the world of sports, how that translates into what's happening at the hobby shop level. And you know what? It's WrestleMania week, and Jameson is a wrestling guy just like me. So you know we touch on that at the end. If you want to show your support for a hobby shop, go check out what's happening at Port City Sports Collectibles. Hit their Instagram. They're doing a lot of great things. For now, sit back, enjoy the conversation. All right, we are back with the second installment of Hobby Shop Talk. I've got Jameson Long, owner at Port City Sports Collectibles. Had fun the last time we talked, running it back again. Going to try to do these once a month. We're going to get into the hobby shop owner perspective. There's a lot going on in the world of sports entertainment, and just the hobby. So we're just going to get into it. Jameson, welcome back, man. How are you?
Thanks, Brad, man. I'm big, great, man. Thanks for having me back on. It's good to be back on chatting with you.
So I think just to remind listeners, last time we spoke, you talked about kind of rip night, a hobby rip night. You talked about just like inventory in your store, what was selling. You know, we talked about just like the mindset you had going into kind of year two. We're going to probably cover some of those topics and more, but I want to hit on just like since we last spoke, what has been kind of your main focus, main priorities as an owner? Has it been a lot of the same, or has there been anything different?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a lot of the same. You know, as a newer shop, we're doing everything we can to grow the business, grow the brand name. You know, we really try to pride ourselves on having a wide variety for the consumers when they come in. Everything down to new supplies to keep their cards in, new. We are a vendor of Zion cases, so we're always trying to get their newest trinkets in here. And then down to singles, you know, I put a heavy emphasis. In a perfect world, I'm buying singles every day, because when the people come in, you know, I love when they look in the case and like, wow, it seems like everything in here is new, you know, because I want them to have that desire to keep walking in, because they have to see what is new in the case rather than walking in and seeing all the same old cards in the case that are now not desirable, overpriced, yada, yada, yada. So we try to keep that super fresh if possible. And then the wax, you know, we want to have a good array of wax when it comes to all the sports. Baseball has definitely picked up with the season. Really, yeah, I know we had the game last week, but really it's really opening day today. So it's been hot. I mean, football remains a consistent. And really, you know, basketball, I would say last year was pretty weak, definitely the weakest of the big three. But Wimby Mania has definitely changed that a bit. I would say it's definitely still third, but we definitely have a lot more people this year coming in wanting to chase Wimby. And even, you know, we've even been selling some hockey lately with Upper Deck Series 2, Connor Bedard. You know, I think it's a lot of people's first time ever opening hockey. But it's when you have those type of prospect and those potential, you know, generational type talents that come in, it does spark interest from the outside. So we've definitely had even more of a demand on the hockey side of things, which has been kind of cool.
So I want to talk about Wimby and maybe, yeah, I want to talk about Wimby. But before I do that, one thing you said I think is interesting, would be interesting for just listeners to learn about. But you mentioned like working with Zion cases and getting their new products in, maybe help us understand like what that experience is like when you're evaluating, like maybe not wax, not singles, but just like all the other products, like, how are you as an owner evaluating like what you want to present in front of your customers that come in? Is that like existing relationships you have with vendors? Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, Zion Cases is something I used personally before we had the shop. And I do know the guys that run that that operation, have known them for a while. And, you know, it's a company that I believe in and that I'm happy to stand behind. You know, I know the quality of the individuals that run that company. I know they stand by their products. I see who they are as people. And that's a company I can get behind and support. You know, I know Clint Anderson, who kind of one of the heads over there, that I've known him for a long time, just a stand-up dude. They do a lot, not only for the hobby, but to give back through Zion Cases to kids and things like that. And that's kind of what the model we want to represent here is that same thing. So we want to partner with like-minded people, I think, for the most part. And, you know, we want to have brands in here that we're happy to represent and that we put our, you know, rubber stamp on. And like I said, I mean, I probably have 6 or 7 Zion Cases of my own. I wear a Zion backpack almost every day, you know, and it's just, I love the product and would stand behind them. And our customers love them. I mean, we sell a few a week, you know, and they're not cheap. I mean, you know, a lot of the cases start around $100 and go up from there, you know, so it's not a cheap, but people love them, man. They come in, especially people, you know, say we're starting to get people that come in that were like, you know, mainly buying cards off Amazon and Target and Walmart, and they just don't offer products like that in there. So they have, you know, they've been carrying stuff around and not everything, because they do have some decent top loaders and stuff in that, but a lot of like the cases and stuff like that, I think, are on the cheaper side. So when they come in and they see that product and the sturdiness and the locks on the outside and stuff, they're like, wow, like this is really cool. And I think it just like, when you get something like that, it really, it kind of seems silly, but I think it helps enhance even the perspective of your own collection, because now you have like this special box that you're putting it in, you know, you got the handle, you can walk around. So, you know, kids love it. I mean, I got a guy that's 50, he's one of our better customers, and he comes in and it seems like he's buying a new Zion case every 2 weeks. Because he's buying boxes in here, opening up, he's buying singles, he's in breaks, and he wants all his cards in Zion cases. You know, he buys the big 4 rows and he just stacks them up, you know what I mean? And he has them all sorted out and stuff. So, you know, so we just want products that are a value add to the consumer and companies that we feel comfortable standing behind at the same time.
Zion's getting some free publicity on here, but yeah. I can say I keep my cards. I've got 2 Zion cases, the XLs right over here. Yeah, when I went to the Midwest Monster last, I didn't buy any cards. There's nothing I purchased, but I did walk by the Zion table and had a conversation. And I was thinking about my collection. I was like, you know what? Like, here's a good time. I can probably use one more. Yeah. So back to Wimby, I think it's so interesting when I think so many of us got back in the hobby, like a lot of us, like there were these like pillar players that we saw everywhere and breaks and just on in hobby shops. And for me, it was like the giant John Zion mania. And right. we didn't have that necessarily at that level for several years. And now we're back in a huge way with Wimby. I was looking at Card Ladder and I just did like 5 days. In 5 days in March, like from the 17th to the 22nd or whatever. And I just was curious, like how many Wimby cards are selling online in like a 5-day period. And there was like, I think the number was like 6,080 across like all the platforms in just 5 days, which just seemed like insane to me. And I think he is certainly a player that is living up to the hype and expectations and playing better than I thought he was going to be. How important do you think, as you're kind of into year two, how important are those like young, potentially transformational type players for you as a business owner to just get people's attention and bring new people into your store? How important is that?
I mean, I think it's huge. I think it's, you know, outliers move the needle, you know, and Wimby is kind of, you know, I know the term, it kind of got popular. I think it kind of first started happening with like Kristaps Porzingis, like the unicorn. But like he really is like probably the most unicornish type player that we've ever seen. I know it's early, but to this point, I mean, I don't think you can, honestly, I think you would just be hating if you looked at what the kid has done this year and just not kind of marveled at just some of the stat sheets that he's put up. I know the team's not doing great. You know, that will come with time. You know, I don't think LeBron's Cavaliers did awesome his first year in the league. But I mean, the guy's just like, he's a water cooler player. It's like, did you see what Wimby did last night? You know, and it's like, you know, he's had those games where it's like 35 points, 15 rebounds, 10 blocks, 7 assists, and 5 steals. And it's just like, and when you think about that, the fact that he's only 20 and he's not in his probably his man body yet, even though, even if he does, is going to be like maybe a Kevin Durant, like where he just does have a more slender build his whole career, he's still going to get stronger just as he becomes a man, you know, because he's only 20 and he learns and understands the game. And when you put on the top that like he's a 20-year-old kid that moved in from a foreign country, there's got to be some adjustment that comes with that, that I don't think people fully grasp and understand. They think these athletes are like robots sometimes. Like he's away from his family, he's away from his friends, he's in this new country kind of with all this hype. It's probably, even though you have all these people adoring you, it's probably lonely all at the same time, because you kind of, he's only seeing things from his level. He's the only one. But man, when you get these type of guys, I mean, they're just transcendent type players, you know, or has the potential to be a transcendent type player, you know, barring injury. And, you know, I think that's the projection that we're seeing right now with what he's already doing in year one. So, I mean, I think it's only good for things to come. I mean, the bummer is, you know, is kind of the way the card market's working out for him, I think, with the lack of autographs. You know, I don't know if it's good or bad. You know, at one point, maybe it keeps him special because it's a little bit less watered down in some regards, that it does enhance these things like Prism basketball and stuff like that, because now these parallel cards are true like rarities, which is kind of cool. But I mean, we saw the same thing in football with CJ Stroud, you know. You know, we had the same, you know, we had these two monster rookies. I mean, CJ Stroud, same time, you know, people, you know, his cards are worth a ton, especially for a court, for football, you know, because I think the top end market of football and basketball have always been a little bit different, where the basketball just has like this much higher ceiling, I feel like, that may be persuaded by different markets that participate in different sports. But, you know, CJ Stroud, we had the same thing where he didn't have any really autos outside of some like one-offs that Fanatics put out. But just been interesting. We have these two monster rookies, arguably the greatest rookie quarterback season of all time, not, doesn't have the same array of offerings as we've had with traditional football players. And now we're having the same thing on the Wembanyama side, you know, transcendent type player talent, potentially, you know, looks like a guy that could win multiple MVPs in his career. And yeah, he's not going to have, you know, any NBA licensed rookie autos. So it'll be interesting over time to see what cards kind of play out over the market. And then when Fanatics does actually get the licensing, what those first kind of auto NBA licensed autos are going to do for him. I imagine they're going to be monstrous.
So I want to talk about the autographs, because it's got me super curious that when somebody comes in, buys packs, buys boxes, and they're like, I'm spending this money, I'm going to rip, I want to see if I can pull a CJ Stroud or a Wimby. Is understanding like the current autograph situation of those players help people listening? Because I am not a big autograph collector, but yeah, to me, I feel like at times I am alone, especially when it comes to like people getting back into hobby, people ripping packs. Maybe share a little bit of perspective just on like the importance of autographs in hobby boxes and like how collectors who are coming in, who are buying packs, view them.
I mean, I think autographs are still probably the most popular thing. So you are weird. No, no, I mean, especially from like a kid perspective, you know, I think, yeah, especially with kids, you know, I mean, if you think like back to like, even at your youngest form of kids, like kids are running around Disney World with autograph books, trying to get Mickey Mouse to sign their autograph book. You know what I mean? I mean, I think it's something that's like entrenched to us. I don't know what it is about these people signing their name, but it's like something that we collect. So I think it does hurt a little bit that those kind of guys aren't in the products, especially, I mean, these aren't football and basketball boxes. You know, there's not a lot of $100 football and basketball boxes out there. I mean, almost every box of football that comes in is $300 and up, you know, out of the gate. And same with basketball this year with Wimby. You know, I mean, even Donruss came out of the gates $300 a box, you know. And so there is still that ultimate, I think, that desire to open that box and pull that autograph card out. You know, a lot of times, you know, some people do know. Sometimes, you know, we do always try to consult with people before they buy the box, letting them know, hey, just so you know, Wembanyama does not have any signed cards in here, you know. But, you know, I think one thing that Panini, it seems like they've had, they've tried to do is add, like, I know in Court Kings, there's like a special Wembanyama insert set where it's just a set of Wembanyama and the cards are short printed. They're including them in all the major like SSP sets, like, so like, you know, the Prismania and the Night Moves and all the stuff like that. There hasn't been any Color Blast yet this year or Downtowns yet for basketball with Wimby. Those sets haven't come out. I know the next big one will probably be Crown Royale. He'll have Kabooms in there. So those are going to be monster cards, I'm sure. But I definitely still think people do want to pull the autographs. You know, I think it's that piece where it kind of feels like it gets, you know, I think the autograph and the patch element is kind of that piece that feels like it brings you closer to the athlete. You know, they signed this. This has their autograph. This has their piece of jersey on it that they played in. So I still think there is that aspect of that. Those elements kind of bring you closer to the athlete, or at least make you feel closer to the athlete.
We're definitely going to hit on wrestling because it is WrestleMania week as this goes live, but we're going to let it cook for a little bit because you said something in that response that is a good segue to one of the things that I wanted to talk about. You talked about like the conversation you have with somebody who's buying a box who might be seeking autographs. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is just like the role of the hobby shop as a place to educate. How do you, I guess let's start here first. Like, how do you think about education in the hobby and the role you play as the owner at Port City Sports Collective?
I mean, it's huge. I mean, we try to, you know, one thing we're not trying to do is like burn people out, you know, come in, take their money, you know, have them ride real hot and fast, because this is, I mean, this can turn from a hobby to a casino very quickly if you don't steward your money correctly. So, you know, we do a lot of consulting. I would say two of the main things we consult over, or three, I would say, is especially for newer collectors and younger collectors, how to properly take care of your cards. You know, because if you're going to come and spend all this money and take and then not properly take care of your cards, you're throwing money down the drain. So we always try to educate on how to properly, because we have people that come in, they'll, you know, they've been ripping at Target, Walmart, and they may have some good cards and stuff. You know, it might be their first time, and they have the cards just in a top loader with no penny sleeve, or, you know, they have them in like still old screw down type cases. So we always try to educate on taking care of your cards properly. One of the other things is everybody wants to get their card graded, right? They don't know why they want to get their card graded. They've seen cards graded. They see PSA 10. So we try to educate through taking care of your cards. Now, this is what you look for, because everyone assumes, well, you know, the first thing is I pulled this card right out of a pack and put it in a case. It's probably a 10. I'm like, no, not how it works. There's cards that come out of the pack that are PSA 7s. There's cards that come out of the pack that are PSA 8s. So we try to educate, because people, I think, fall in love with the idea of grading cards. So what we try to do is we try to consult with them. So I always tell them, bring your cards in. Let us help you take a look at them. Let us help you show you what to look for on these cards. And one of the first things I do with people when I take their cards, I'm like, why are you grading this card? Are you grading it because you only want it to be PSA 10? Or are you grading it because I love this card, I'm never going to get rid of it, and I just want it encapsulated in a holder? So we need to find out why they're grading the card. If it's just to get encapsulated, great. Okay, here's the card. This is what I think it'll grade. Are you sure you still want to grade it? Okay, great. Cool. We'll process that order for you. If you want to get a 10, all right, well, let's take a look at the card. And, you know, I try to show them the things, you know, that they never even think about looking at, because we look at hundreds of cards a day that we're either going to help customers with or send in ourselves. So we try to help consult them through why you grade. You know, let's take a look at this card. All right, this card is worth $20 raw. Okay, if you get a PSA 9, it's $25. If you get a PSA 10, it's $100. We better make sure this is going to be a PSA 10, because if not, you just threw good money after bad money, because your card enhanced by $5, but you paid $25 to have it enhanced by $5. So we try to just walk them through, like, because we ultimately, again, we can have them come in and we're happy to help them, but we're trying to teach them how to be, okay, if they're at a show and they see a car and it looks good condition, like, does it make sense to buy it and potentially grade it? We're trying to teach them how to fish, not just catch the fish for them. So we're trying to get them to think through these things. Because, you know, there's those cars that fall in that line, like, is it worth grading or is it not worth grading? And if you get the wrong grader and they try to, and they decide to give you a bunch of nines and you sent eight cards in, you might've just, you know, threw $200 down the drain that you could have just bought yourself a really nice card with. So we try to be good stewards of their money. The other thing we tell people is too, is a lot of times, especially when they're buying boxes, is consider part of the money that you're spending on your box is that you're paying for entertainment. Financially, go ahead and assume that you're going to pull out less money than what you paid for it. Just assume that, you know, we want everybody to hit a home run and we do see them hit. And we see people that double, triple, quadruple their money. And then we also see people that burn money in half. You know what I mean? So what we always try to counsel is assume when you buy that box and we tear that wrapping off of it, that you're going to lose some money financially on the card. But part of what you're paying for is entertainment value. And then if you hit a really nice card, that's a bonus. But, you know, just like when you, if you are a gambler, you know, Las Vegas doesn't have big buildings because everybody's a winner. You know, those hotels aren't built off winners. The only winner is usually the casino. So just consider that when you buy a box and you're opening it, part of what you're paying for is the entertainment value. Like, have fun, enjoy it. And if you're only opening it for big hits, you're forever going to be seeking, like, enjoy some of the base cards, enjoy pulling some of your favorite collectors, just enjoy the aspect of the collecting. Because if you just get in this like roulette wheel mindset, you're probably going to be unfulfilled more than you're going to be fulfilled in this hobby. So try to enjoy the other aspects of just the big hit when you open the box. Enjoy, because I think sometimes there's some really nice sets out there that people can't even, you know, take time and enjoy some of the, like Stadium Club, the photography, some of the just the different colors and technologies they put in some of these cards, like Spectra and stuff like that. Because it's just a hunt for the big hit, and it just becomes like a 5-minute thrill ride, and then it's over, and then you crash. So we try to help people have the right mindset going in, because I think overall and in the long term, it's going to make their collecting experience much more enjoyable rather than just going big hit to big hit, because that just becomes kind of unfulfilling. And I think you'll be dull every time you get that big hit. If that's all you're chasing, you're dulled from it after a while.
I think about just how I came back into the cards again. And just like I mentioned, the exposure of Zion and Ja, and like my immediate response, which I would imagine a lot of people's is to go to Target and try to find, you know, blasters so you can pull cards of those guys. I think about that, and I think about what I know now, and one of the topics that you kind of brought up that I'm curious about is just like the configure. It's confusing to me, and I do this every day, but just like the configuration between retail and hobby shop, and then like the cost. I would imagine someone who's used to going into Target buying blaster boxes who comes into your shop and sees the price of, you know, a hobby boxes might not understand the reason why there's such a price difference. How do you talk through that?
That's another element of just education. You know, we're talking through, I mean, we do carry blaster boxes and mega boxes, and we do carry retail configurations because, I mean, not everybody can come in and drop $300 on a hobby box of, you know, name your product, you know? So we do have those various, you know, different configurations. And we just talk through the reasoning behind that and what makes, you know, what makes each one what it is. And that there is, I mean, there is a place in the hobby for all those price points and all those configurations. You know, not everybody is at the point where they're ready to do hobby boxes. Some people just want to open packs, and they're totally cool just opening some packs, knowing they have long odds and just getting the thrill. And just, you know, I think there is that nostalgic just piece of when we were kids and opening packs, and you just want to open packs and stuff. And we even do, I mean, one of our biggest sellers here, you know, which I just got tired of, but I just saw, like, you know, it just breaks my heart kind of when you see a kid that comes in and you know, they spent up all their money and they spent 30 or 40 bucks on a blaster box, and then they walk out with like $2 worth of cards, right? So we do mystery packs here. We have a $30 range and a $50 range. And that, because people sometimes they just want to open something. They just want the thrill of opening something. So it's super low risk. I mean, like if we have a $30 mystery pack, probably the floor is like 20, 25. And then we'll put some $50 cards in there, you know. And then same thing on our on like our $50 ones, floor is like 40. And then they will put like some $75 and $80 cards in there and stuff. Slabs, non-slabs, everyone's a big player. So like a kid's not pulling some like random like out of five of some guy they never, you know, it's Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Kobe, Jordan, Acuna, Otani, you know, it's all big names. So when those kids open those packs, they know who they're hitting. But those have been incredibly good sellers. And some areas we've been able to defer, you know, the kids from buying the blaster and maybe leaving with not much. But now they're walking out with, they got the thrill of the excitement of opening, and they're walking out with a pretty cool card in their hand for the money that they've saved up for. And those have been extremely popular and well received in the store. So that's just another avenue we've created to try to help, you know, spur the hobby and get kids some cards and stuff like that.
You mentioned a name that I want to hit on before we talk wrestling, and that is Ohtani. maybe it's baseball season.
Yeah.
Probably no bigger sports story of the year. I mean, I think it was like top of like Apple News for like, you know, 4 or 5 days. I mean, he, as a non-baseball collector looking into baseball cards, like for me, I'm looking at Ohtani first because he seems like he is the guy right now and his values back it up. What has that, have people come into your store asking questions? Is there doubt? Like this, I know this situation is so fluid right now. We're trying to figure it out, but it could be nothing, but then the implications could be pretty severe. So I'm curious, like, what maybe have those conversations been like at the hobby shop level? And like, how are people coming in your store, you know, thinking through whether they should buy Ohtani cards or not?
Well, we haven't sold a bunch of Ohtanis. No, I think people are, kind of waiting to see, you know. It's so, there just seems to be so many missing like dots to connect that it's hard to really, I think the lack of information always makes you tend to decide to more like, it feels like they're holding information back from us. So it feels like there's some level of guilt somewhere for something, but that's all just speculative. And then when you throw in the whole, you know, dynamic of, you know, he is from another country, you know, understanding and, you know, so there's just so many different dynamics to the story. I mean, just from what we know about Ohtani, it seems super off character and off base, just based on just, and again, it's hard. You don't know as much about him because he's not out there speaking fluent English. He's always communicated through a translator. So I think that does kind of, it makes you almost feel like you don't know him as well as maybe some of more American born players that just, you know, directly communicate, you know, to the media. So it's just hard. I think most people, I think, are kind of in a wait and see type aspect. I think with this story, it does seem very weird, you know, that you have $5 million goes missing out of your bank account and you're not aware. But you know, at the same time, the dude probably has a ton of money coming into that account. And I doubt he's like me and you. He probably doesn't jump on his computer and pull up his Wells Fargo account every day to see, you know, he's got people that handles that. And he's probably, you know, I think some of those athletes are just so focused on their individual disciplines that's what they're paying all these people to do, is to take care and look at that stuff for them and mine that stuff on a daily basis. So who knows, man? I don't know. I mean, I hope it's not true. I hope it's not, because he's good for baseball. To me, like, you know, him, like guys like him, I mean, he's like another guy, like, you know, you talk about unicorn. I mean, this is guy, somebody doing something that we haven't seen since Babe Ruth, if not, you know, doing both better than Babe Ruth. You know what I mean? So you just hate this. You would hate to see him get taken down like that. So hopefully it's not true. But like, you know, when I look at guys like him, Ronald Acuna Jr., you know, those are the things we need in baseball to kind of, I think, like, that's what brings the newer generation into baseball. So you want your most exciting players out there. You don't want these, you know, black clouds hanging over them. So hopefully it's nothing. It's smoke. Hopefully this interpreter is just a bad apple, and just, you know, hopefully Shohei maybe just got a little taken advantage of, because he seems, you know, from what we've seen, he seems like a nice guy. Doesn't seem like he would have that type of dark underbelly to him, but you never know. I mean, how much do we really know about these guys? You know what I mean? There's the public perception of someone, and then there's the real person behind the scenes. So we don't really know, but we'll see how it fakes out. So I guess I'm still in a wait and see mode.
I have to ask, and I wasn't planning on it, but we've talked about Wimby, we've talked about Ohtani, I talked about CJ Stroud. I've got to ask, like, is there any buzz at Port City Sports Collectibles about Caitlin Clark? Are people coming in and asking questions? Do people want her cards? It seems like, you know, alongside everyone else we've talked about, she's been on the front page of the news everywhere. Has there been any reaction?
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't even when that the first Bowman Chrome U product came out with Wimby in it, that 22-23, which was also Caitlin's first card. That's the same product that Superfractor, I think, just sold for like $70,000 out of. I mean, I felt like it was almost one to one that people were coming in and just as excited that she had cards in that product, even when Wimby did. And we sold a lot of that, as you know, probably more towards the end. You know, people were buying it because of Wimby. But I mean, initially it felt like people were like, oh, Caitlin Clark's in there. Like, it was just as big of a selling feature that she was pictured in those cards as Wimbignana was. And we're in North Carolina. So North Carolina is a huge college basketball area. Cause you know, you have Duke, Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest. So college basketball is almost more important here than NBA basketball is. I think even on the female side, because Duke and Carolina have always had, you know, pretty top notch, you know, South Carolina's right down the road. So it's definitely she was definitely a selling feature, even going back to last year for her stuff. And we have the blasters of that. We sold a whole case of it, you know, like a week ago for someone coming in. I had bought, I think, Tops had like, they must have had some cases left over. So I bought like four or five of them. They put them in my queue. I was like, yeah, I'll take it. I mean, my kids, we took a blaster case home and ripped it the other weekend. Just a fun rip. I mean, I think we pulled like 15 Caitlin Clark base cards out of there, some inserts, a couple of refractors. It's also got the girl from USC in there, Juju Watkins, who's also it looks like she's going to take over for Caitlin when Caitlin goes to the NBA next year. It's just a super good product. So, definitely people have been asking for her, and I think people are excited to see, you know, what happens. Is she going to have another run where she can, you know, overcome a team like South Carolina by herself, you know? And I think it'll be exciting also for WNBA cards next year to have her in there. I'm interested to see what that does to the pricing of WNBA cards next year as well.
The fever season tickets here are doubled already.
Yeah, I'm sure. Everything's going
to go up. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Let's talk about wrestling this drops. It is WrestleMania week.
Absolutely.
I guess first question, non-card related, like, how are you feeling going into this WrestleMania season? It's felt a little bit different for me as a fan, but I'm curious on your thoughts.
So I'm like, there's things I'm like happy about, and there's things I'm like a little disappointed headed into WrestleMania about. The things I'm excited about is like, I have no idea what's going to happen in any of this. Everything seems so up in the air. Like literally almost every match, I'm not really sure who's going to win. I'm pretty sure I think Drew's going to win. That's the one thing I think is going to happen. I'm pretty sure Drew's going to win. I think Seth is probably going to take some time off after Mania. I think he's been pretty beat up. So I can see that winning happening. And I think Rhea's going to win. Those are the two matches I feel the most comfortable about. After that, man, who knows what could happen? I mean, The Rock's just been on another level since he's come back. I mean, he's literally, which is awesome. But also part of the problem for me is like, I feel like Roman's been so like underwhelming kind of in this thing, almost like a supporting character, not a main character. It seems like it's the Cody Rock story, not the Roman Cody story. And I felt like I felt like last week on Raw, they could have switched all that. They could have done everything they did on that show. The missing piece, I thought, which would have really enhanced, I think, the championship match, was at the very end after Cody was beat up, have Roman like come out of the shadows, almost like he was the mastermind over it all, and just like gotten in his face and held the championship or something and said like, acknowledge me or something like that. Almost to make it look like The Rock was working for Roman, like he was Roman's muscle. But right now it just feels like The Rock is the main character. I know he acknowledged Roman and everything, but he just feels like, he feels like Thanos. You know what I mean? He feels like the ultimate bad guy. And I don't know if that's just leading to a point where Roman's like going to realize that and snap. And like, that's going to be the turn between those two or whatever. But just to have this title run of, you know, 1300 and some odd days, culminating into this championship where potentially he could lose the championship. It just feels like he should be a bigger piece of the story. Now, if they're going to do something dramatic over those last few weeks, maybe. But it seems like the Cody Rock story and then Seth and Roman are almost in the background rather than it should be Roman, I feel like, the Roman Cody story, and the Rock and Seth should be enhancing that story. That's the only thing I'm disappointed at. And maybe it's just can't. Maybe if you bring the Rock, he is just so charismatic that like, and he's so big. I mean, even Roman, who's a big guy, looks small in the ring when Rock's in there. And it could just be, you know, the Rock's got the vest on. He's, you know, he's juiced out of his mind. Like, who knows what's pumping through that guy? You know, there's probably all kinds of tests and HGH and steroids running through his veins right now. And Roman's always in like the hoodie and the tracksuit. And the visual makes Roman always look like the little brother in that scenario. Maybe they're doing that on purpose. I don't know. So
I think your criticisms are fair. I will say like the uncertainty of what is going to happen and how it's going to happen and how all these moving pieces are going to play together has me interested.
Yeah.
Maybe more than I anticipated.
Yeah.
Or maybe more in years past. I will say, without thinking about like the bigger picture, just sitting and watching Monday Night Raw this last Monday, it felt different. It felt important with The Rock surprise and you're bringing back Punk, and Chicago's always a good crowd. Sure. It's just the way they're shooting the product, the way they're telling the stories. It has me like almost feeling like I'm watching wrestling from an Attitude Era perspective again, which I don't like need that. But it's fun to feel like a new, it feels like they're ushering in a new version of the product, which is super exciting. I'm like, my whole thing is always like, all right, I'm willing to work up as a dad, do whatever I want, pay my dues. But on Saturday and Sunday night, I'm just going to be sitting there like a wrestling degenerate with my Roman Reigns t-shirt on, probably order some unhealthy food and just stick me in the basement so I can mark out for a few hours.
Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, I definitely think like right now, I mean, the dude, say what you want about him, Triple H is a freaking genius, dude. That dude, I mean, he just knows how to enhance. He knows exactly how to bring out the best in everybody, you know? And I think it goes to him also working with Shawn down at NXT. It's just so much different. I mean, you're seeing even like, Raw was great this week, man. Even like what they're allowing like a guy like Ricochet to do now. You know what I mean? Like just a guy that was just like had nothing going. Just seemed like he was like lost in the sauce. And like you just see what they're doing with him. And then, I mean, that match with him and JD McDonagh was a banger.
Insane. Like,
yeah, a banger. I mean, the way that conversion into that Canadian Destroyer was one of the cleanest Canadian Destroyers I've ever seen, dude. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, Triple H just, this is what happens when, I guess, you don't have somebody ripping up the script every 10 hours, you know, and changing direction, and you give storylines time to play out and breathe and, you know, and, you know, who knows what the intended match was to be and what the actual main event of WrestleMania was supposed to be and yada, 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 and this and that. But they have done has been incredible. I mean, even down to like the shot where the rock came out this week and the lightning bolts came down and he was just in the way and all you saw was his like silhouette was incredible.
It felt so different than anything I've been watching Monday Night Raw my entire life. And it just felt like I got goosebumps sitting there watching it. And that's what like wrestling, I think, is supposed to do for you. Do you get people coming in and talking about wrestling cards? I know there's a bunch of wrestling card collectors who listen, and I'm just curious, like the sentiment at the hobby shop level.
We have a little niche group. I wouldn't say it's like heavy. I'll tell you one of the, like I have a shelf out here where I have four WWE belts on like a top shelf. I have the red one that they used to use on Raw. I have the blue one that they used to use on SmackDown. I have a regular black championship, like the WWE. And then I have a women's. And the three of them are from the WWE Transcendent when I was breaking those that I had. But I probably, those get probably, even from people that don't buy wrestling cards, everybody talks about those belts when they come in. They're like, are those real? Are those for sale? And I let them hold them. They're like, wow, these are heavier than I thought. So they always we get a lot of like, not necessarily I feel like are mainly wrestling card collectors, but we do get quite a bit of people that do watch wrestling that come in the shop and enjoy the product and stuff like that. So
before we kind of round the corner, I got to get, we've talked about this like kind of off the record a little bit, but as the closing credits of WrestleMania are happening on Sunday, What are we as fans looking at on the screen?
I think Cody's going to do it. I think he's going to finish the story.
The story is, I would agree with you, but there's this piece of me, and maybe it's almost just a sicko Roman guy. There's a piece of me that almost doesn't want it to happen just to see the reaction.
Oh, but yeah.
I would agree. If I were betting on it, I would say that is what's
going to happen. I mean, I think, you know, you always go with typically – whoever standing tallest leading into the match is the one that loses. And with what happened on Monday night, the way they left him, you know, that's their white meat babyface. If Cody loses here, he's done. I mean, your white meat babyface had two shots in a row, you know, so I see them stacking all odds against them. I expect Rock and Roman to go over night one. Bloodline rules. You know, a lot of people are talking about the Easter egg when Rock was holding Cody over the that balcony and you saw the truck with Austin and Cena in the back. You know, was that a picture of things to come? You know, is Seth going to turn on Cody night one and he looks like he's going to have no one in his corner? And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I mean, could you imagine if Bloodline is coming to surround him and and Cena's music hits? And then he's coming down, and then you hear the glass break. That place would absolutely come unglued. You know what I mean?
The one thing, and we'll tie a bow on this, but the one thing I have been thinking about is the question I have after Monday night is, why didn't we get any Jey Uso help? Well, like, you know, and there's a piece of me, Jey Uso is so over as a babyface right now, but there's a piece of me in saying, like, is he in the blood? Like, is there something going on there?
So, I know. Part of me wanted, I knew they were going to go Uso versus Uso at Mania, but part of me wanted Jey to get a crack at Gunther. I'd love to see him be the guy that beat Gunther. He's just so over right now. I think it'd be a great moment just having the whole place with the doing the whole thing. You know what I mean? I think that would be a good moment.
Totally agree. Well, all you wrestling fans, we're excited. I know you are too. It's Mania. Let's celebrate it. Before we close this out, I'd love to learn a little bit about just, and maybe it is unchanged from the last time we spoke, but just what are kind of some of the top guys and top or gals even in products that people are coming in for City Sports Collectibles and wanting or what's selling right now?
Sure. Like we talked about, Wimbenyana, basketball-wise, Wimbenyana. A lot of the Thunder kids, Chet and Shea, people are coming to ask him for. And then Jordan and Kobe always do well. And Steph, you know, those are our basketball guys. Football, CJ Stroud, man, we get a ton of people that want Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy. I would say those are kind of probably our biggest basketball people. I think football people, I think a lot of people are starting to jump on the AR train. I think he's going to be huge.
Why I can't buy his cards right now.
I know. I think his stuff's going to be big going in the summer. And then baseball wise, you know, we're in Braves country. So all the big Braves guys sell well for us. Otani has always done well. We'll see what comes out of this. And we do, I tell you, we've had a lot of people interested in a lot of the rookies from last year, especially the Baltimore guys, Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman. People are really excited about Jackson Holliday. And then the kid out in Arizona, Corbin Carroll. We have a lot of people that really like him. So baseball has been really strong for us. We do really well with baseball and vintage baseball. We saw a ton of Mickey Mantle still. Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, Roberto Clemente. We do extremely well with their cards in the shop. So we're always buying that stuff, especially like that 2 to 4 range in a PSA grade where you can still get a decent card, but it's not going to necessarily cost you $5,000 to get it. We do really well with that type of vintage merchandise in the shop. So.
I would imagine are you still breaking on TikTok? Is there anything else you want to plug before we let you get out of here in terms of things you're working on or what's happening at the shop?
Yeah, we're still breaking on TikTok. We're still breaking on TikTok. We will watch what's going on with that. There's a lot of noise around the whole TikTok app right now. So we'll continue to monitor what goes with that. Thinking about maybe jumping back on Whatnot here and there. We also will do, we'll jump on IG Live and do personal box breaks. We have our website, www.portcitysportscollectibles.com, where you can order product off that. Also, you can also always shoot us a DM. And we're happy to, you can look at our inventory on our website. If there's anything you want to bust live, we do that from time to time. Someone will say, hey, can you jump on IG Live and bust a couple boxes for us or something like that? So we do that as well. That's more kind of by demand. We don't have like set hours, though. That may be something we look forward to doing in the future, especially over the summer. We're probably going to staff up and we'll have more just people available to be able to fulfill or just kind of hang out online and kind of take box requests on demand. But TikTok, we're on at least 3 or 4 days a week, ripping products, doing group breaks and stuff like that.
I love that. I had never even thought about that, but just like someone who's just reaches out and says, you know what? I've been good. I haven't bought a box in a while. Can you rip this so I can get entertained for a little bit? That's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, yeah. We did 3 boxes of we had one of our good customers. He was away on business. He knew we only had a couple boxes left of something. He is in between appointments. Say, hey, you mind jumping on IG and ripping a couple of boxes? So we busted 3 Prism football hobby boxes for him yesterday on IG Live. Just hopped on and ripped them for him, and he'll be by later today and picking them up. So yeah, we do that stuff all the time. So.
Well, go follow Port City Sports Collectibles on Instagram and all the other channels. Jameson, this is fun. I can't believe it's WrestleMania week. You and I will have to catch up after this all goes out and see if any of our predictions hold true.
Definitely, definitely. Always enjoy being on the show. Thanks for having me, Brett.
Education is such an important topic, and I think the best education comes from the hobby shop. In those conversations, I loved the way Jameson described his role and the things he's thinking about. Hopefully you enjoyed that. We're going to be back again next month with another one. And of course, all the other Stacking Slabs episodes that you expect to come will happen this week. You take care of yourself. Take care of others around you. We'll be back tomorrow with the flagship.